Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing last night's Royal Rumble at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit to talk about, folks. This Royal Rumble has probably been one of the most controversial ones in a long time in terms of the fans' response to it. Because scanning the internet like I do every time these pay-per-views are on or these premium events are on, as the WWE now calls them, I don't think I've ever seen such polar opposite opinions as I have on this Royal Rumble. I've heard everything from best Royal Rumble ever, every match was 4- and 5-star match, to total garbage, none of it worth a damn. And it seems to be in equal amounts, which is really weird. And I think the truth kind of lies somewhere in the middle with this, quite honestly. But we're going to take this one step at a time. And let's start first, of course, with the opening match. For the benefit of people who do not know and were questioning, why would Roman Reigns be first? Well, his contract says first or last. That's it. That's how he wrestles. He's either the first match on the card or the last. You knew the last was going to be the Men's Royal Rumble, so they had no choice but to make him the first match. And truthfully, it wasn't a bad choice. And Seth Rollins coming down with the Shield music, the old Shield outfit, I thought was fabulous. I thought this was a great psychological warfare type thing that Seth Rollins' character very logically would do, knowing that that supposedly was the only thing that bothered Roman Reigns. I also thought their match was very, very good. I do know that people are upset about the ending. So let's logically look at it. Would it have hurt Seth Rollins to take the pinfall to Roman Reigns? No. Obviously, it wouldn't have. Would it have been a more satisfactory finish for the fans in attendance? Absolutely would have. But if there's another story to be told here, then I'm okay with this. We have to remember, still quite a ways to WrestleMania. Quite a ways to WrestleMania. And it's very possible that there's going to be more to the Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns story. If that's the case, then I'm okay with the ending. If that's not the case, and never the two meet until, you know, after WrestleMania, then, yeah, I could see the fans being a little bit upset. However, they also wanted to make sure that the ending happened with Roman Reigns snapping and busting a chair on Seth Rollins' back and all that, and it would be very hard to do that if he already beat him and beat him clean. It was much better that he lost his temper. And it led to that. So in some ways, it was a logical ending, even though it's not a popular ending. So I really didn't hold that against the WWE. I do think, Mike, it's a questionable way to start a pay-per-view. But all in all, I thought it was a good match and stayed relatively logical.
Yeah, it was relatively logical. And one of the things that I did like him coming down into the old Shield music, but also, you listen to that commentary, and you hear him, and you hear the commentary talk about the Shield and then coming down to the music and stuff, and it's like, and then they even mentioned Ambrose.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Again, could there be more to this? Yeah, there could be more to the story, Todd, but again, I don't think it was a hideous way to start out the pay-per-view.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, the Roman Reigns and the Seth Rollins
opener was not too bad either. Like you said, Michael Cole says, not Moxley, he says Ambrose. Pat McAfee says Moxley.
Yeah, I know.
Two different names. Like
yeah.
Two different guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, listen, it's nitpicking, I think, to pick too much on the ending here. We'll see what ends up happening. Is it a great ending to the match? No. But to get to what they want to get to with Roman snapping, breaking the chair over Seth Rollins' back and all that stuff, it kind of is logical. We then get to the Women's Royal Rumble. And to my surprise, Sasha Banks is number one. Now, the minute Sasha Banks hits number one, I said to myself, you know, you can pretend all you want. Sasha Banks is in such great shape, and she's such a good athlete. She could possibly survive the whole hour. No. I knew she wasn't winning. The moment they called her out first, I said, okay, well, Sasha's out of contention. They're going to make her look good going out, but she's out of the contention. This, I do think, was a mistake. The reason I think it's a mistake is that's someone who the fans thought could really, really win. And that's someone you want to try to stick around until the mid-numbers and keep her right around the end, so it's still a mystery. Now, if I feel sorry for anybody through this whole Royal Rumble, there's a couple people I feel sorry for. One of them is Melina, because Melina was clearly thrilled to be there. Melina was clearly excited to be back in that ring. And she got to do exactly nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. She was flipped out. That's it. So other than posing, she got to do exactly nothing. And that's really a shame. I think if you're going to hire somebody to do the Royal Rumble, at least give them a moment. Give them something. They don't have to throw somebody out necessarily, but can you give them a moment? Can you give them a second? Was it really necessary to not get in one punch, to not get in any offense whatsoever? Is that really necessary? So imagine the phone call. You know, you're coming back to the Royal Rumble and you're excited. Oh, great, I'm making my return and this is going to be cool. And then they're told, yeah, you throw a kick, it's going to be caught. She's dumping you out immediately. Sorry, I mean, you know, that's, Mike, I felt that was a little cruel, to be really honest with you.
I thought it was cruel, too, and that's the deal. But then again, this is the WWE, and these are the type of things that they kind of do on a regular basis.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that's true. Then we have, you know, your normal people are coming out, and I think we get a couple of more surprises. We get Kelly Kelly, and we get Michelle McCool in the first, like, 10. Get Cameron, I think, was out there maybe 13th or 14th. You know, there was quite a few surprises in the Women's Royal Rumble. I'll give them that. Of course, Mickie James was in there. And here's the thing I will say about the Women's Royal Rumble. I had fun watching it. Even though some of them are very short-lived, and it appears that Alicia Fox, you know, literally blew the first move she tried, I had fun watching it. It felt like someone really took time and said, how do we script this to get the most out of it? And I thought they did get quite a bit out of it. I thought there was some branches on the trees there, and I thought there was some good surprises. I especially liked the fact, and I know a lot of people didn't, that while the Bella Twins received mostly cheers when they came out, they sort of came off as the heels, especially when Sarah Logan made her return, and they kind of broke up that moment of Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan reuniting for a second before they dumped them both out. Listen, if you got something more to do with the Bella Twins, maybe we're going to see a reunion. Now, Sarah Logan clearly did not look like she was in ring shape. Sarah Logan, clearly, I think she had a child, and I don't think she's actually been doing much work in the gym or whatever. She's obviously gained some weight. She probably didn't feel comfortable staying in there a long period of time at the moment, but you know, I think they made the most out of that. And I was happy to see her back. And I think the fans were happy to see her back too, Mike. So, I mean, there's something that could lead to perhaps the Bella Twins versus Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan down the road.
If she's actually back for any length of time. You know, I mean, I don't know what the contract says. Was this a one-shot or whatever? And I know one thing. I know that her and Ruby Riott live together on some farm someplace, like in upstate New York or something. So I know that those two ladies live on a farm together, and she, like, helps her with her child and stuff like that when she's home, when she's not wrestling either. So that tells me that I like that, and I like the reaction when she came out. The reaction from Liv Morgan, it seemed very genuine.
Yeah, it definitely did, and I think it definitely was. And again, the Bella Twins robbing them of that moment, I think, was actually it's a pretty good idea. It's a pretty good idea. Again, you know, Derek in the chat room saying Sarah Logan should have stood her ground a little bit and said, I'm not coming back just to get thrown out. I think Sarah Logan realized, unlike Melina, who's been wrestling, I think Sarah Logan realized, I haven't been wrestling. I'm not in shape to really wrestle. I can't do a lot. If you want me to show up, I'll show up. I just don't want to do much. So maybe she was one of the few that was okay with it. She might have actually been okay with being thrown out without doing too much of anything. Makes sense to me, because when she first came out, I said, oh, gee, she doesn't look like she's in the shape she used to be in. So that's very possible. Anyway, you know, we had some back and forth between Lita and Charlotte. We had some back and forth between several of the different women in there. It seemed like they were possibly at least setting up some future things. And I'm glad for that, because it makes me think that you put some effort into how the Royal Rumble was going to work, the numbers which were being called, why people came in when they did, and how to get the most out of people who clearly weren't going to win. Clearly weren't going to win. And we were correct in that Ronda Rousey made her return. And, of course, the moment Ronda Rousey makes her return, you already know she's winning the match. So the match is basically over from that point. Here's the problem. I heard some people say Ronda Rousey looked fantastic. She got in there and she looked like $1 million. I don't know what you were watching. Ronda Rousey got in there and looked like she had all the ring rust in the world. She did nothing but throw little rabbit punches. She didn't really seem like she remembered how to sell when she did have to sell. And I don't see where anybody thinks she looked fantastic. As a matter of fact, it seemed like people had to play it down to her level. For instance, the ending. You had Charlotte and Ronda Rousey in there. They couldn't give you 3 minutes. They didn't give you one move. Charlotte Flair runs at her. Ronda Rousey just kind of picks her up and dumps her out. And the reason behind that is Ronda's in no shape to do, 3 minutes with Charlotte Flair. I don't mean physical shape. I just mean she doesn't have she's got too much ring rust and they don't want to take a chance. And they just said, no, you don't do any moves. I mean, that's pathetic. Ronda Rousey certainly has the physical capabilities to wrestle. But she really doesn't have the other one thing. She doesn't have the intangibles. She's not going to remember 5 things in the ring. She's not going to be able to call. You're not going to be able to call matches with her on the fly. There's a lot of things to being a pro wrestler other than the physical aspect of it. She doesn't really have the other part down. And she didn't before she left. She doesn't now. But she's going to get pushed down your throat anyway. And hopefully, you know, they'll practice enough so that she does have a good match. But last night's Royal Rumble wasn't one of them. It consisted of rabbit punches and scowling at everybody, and that's basically all it was. And I think, you know, the women's locker room clearly realizes now that we are down to Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, maybe Asuka if she comes back, although I guess Asuka's missing in action for good. How long does it take to recover? Same way with Bayley. You know, I asked myself last night, during the last year, I was hospitalized with an infection that led into sepsis, which my doctor told me kills a great deal of the people it infects. And I got better quicker than this. Jesus, how long does it take to recover from a knee surgery if you're Bayley, or how long does it take to recover from whatever if you're Asuka? Been out for 8-9 months. And no sign of coming back in WrestleMania right around the corner. So I thought that was weird. That's the only downfall of the Royal Rumble. We knew Ronda was going to win, and that's fine. And, I guess we get it. She's a big name, and she's obviously going to fight either Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair, one of the two, Mike. But I don't think she looked outstanding last night. As a matter of fact, I think she looked a lot better.
I do too, and one of the other things that I liked about it was when they brought out Cameron, and I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, she may not be here for long, but she's gonna somehow work her way into this thing with Sonya Deville and Naomi, and
right.
What happened? You know, what happened?
And that's why I said I thought it was a pretty well-planned-out Royal Rumble. Having Cameron in there, and then Sonya Deville didn't know the history. When she found out, she put herself in there, threw out Cameron, only to have Naomi be the next person out. All that's pretty good. All that's pretty good planning. So I was happy with that. Overall, the first two matches, the Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and the Women's Royal Rumble, while I disagreed with a few little minor things, I said, no, I'm happy. Everything's going pretty well. Todd, we knew kind of Ronda was winning, so that wasn't really a surprise.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Ronda Rousey came out, I didn't hear no boos in the building. I heard cheers of reaction when Ronda Rousey came out.
Yep.
And like you said, that was like a positive response. I thought they were going to boo her out of the building at first.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, Derek's saying, you know, Alicia Fox didn't really have any right to be in there because, sent a bad message. Well, this leads me to a whole other ball of wax with this because, once again, I have to take wrestling fans to task because on some wrestling groups on the internet, people are saying, the WWE screwed up. Turns out Jeff Hardy's drug test came back negative and they fired him for no reason. He probably just was injured and a little disoriented, and that's why. And they automatically assumed and made idiots out of themselves. Now they're begging him to come back to the Hall of Fame. First off, let's get one thing perfectly clear. When you're in the ring, every single person in that ring, including the referee, and especially the referee, watch very carefully if you're injured. It's the referee's job, to a large extent, to see if, okay, well, he's injured. And you'll see the referee go down oftentimes and ask after every bump, you okay? You all right? You okay? Nothing like that happened in that match. So please tell me where Jeff Hardy got injured. Because no one's seen it. If he was injured so severely that he was disoriented and jumped out of the ring and wandered off through the crowd aimlessly because he couldn't find his way backstage, that would mean probably a concussion. The WWE takes concussions very, very seriously, and I'm sure that they have doctors in attendance right there who would say, he's showing symptoms of a concussion. Let's check him out. No one ever said he had a concussion. You don't pull your hamstring and say, let me wander through the crowd. You just go backstage if you're hurt. Or you tell the referee. You tell the referee, I'm hurt. You tell your opponent, I'm hurt. You don't just wander off aimlessly. So I don't care what his drug test came back. You're all saying, see, there was nothing wrong with him. You know, no, there was something wrong with him. Now, I don't know whether it was alcohol. I don't know whether it was some other thing that didn't show up on the drug test, but it's not an injury. Because if it was an injury, clearly someone would have spotted it. And, you know, Derek's right. You bring Alicia Fox back. Okay, well, the message it sends is you can screw up time and 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 time again. And we'll still take you back because we're kind of desperate. We need extra women. I don't get it. I don't get that. I like Alicia Fox and all, but she's had her chances. She can't, you know. I'd have much rather seen someone else in there. Having said that, though, I do think the Women's Rumble was fairly good. Now, after this, a very strange thing happened. The WrestleMania sign caught fire. When they did the pyro, something went wrong, and the WrestleMania sign caught fire. And they had to evacuate some of the people who were sitting underneath it. So when Becky Lynch and Doudrop had their match, if it seemed like the crowd was kind of distracted, that's why. They literally had a fire. It wasn't a serious fire. Nobody was injured. They didn't have to evacuate the building or anything. But the WrestleMania sign caught fire. Just bizarre. Now, once again, I feel like I'm living in La La Land because I've heard a lot of people say, five-star match. Becky Lynch pulled one of the best matches out of Doudrop ever. I don't know what match you're watching. Becky Lynch jumps. Becky Lynch, by the way, has dropped a ton of weight. That's the first thing I've noticed. Becky Lynch looks very, very thin. Becky Lynch does like a flying body press off the rope. Doudrop's supposed to catch her. Can't even catch her. Can't even catch her. Literally drops her and has to re-pick her up. This is a girl who weighs three times what Becky Lynch weighs. You can't catch her. She then does that, senton type thing and clearly screws it up and her whole backside comes down on Becky Lynch's arm, which could have broken Becky Lynch's arm, which would have been the end of her WrestleMania. So I'm sorry to tell you, Becky Lynch tried to pull a good match out of Doudrop. I am not impressed with Doudrop. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of Piper Niven fans who say she was so good in the UK. Well, I'm not seeing it here. I'm seeing a botch fest. Every time she's in the ring, I'm seeing botch after botch after botch after botch. And this botch, which luckily led to nothing, could potentially have broken Becky Lynch's wrist. And if that was the case, then you'd be shit out of luck for WrestleMania, Mike.
Yeah, and look, Becky Lynch does look, she looks in great shape, but she does look thin, you know. I mean, I'd much rather her be what she was than what she is, because at least then she's, you know, she's a... I'm not saying that she's not don't look healthy. I'm just saying she looks thin.
Right. No, I agree with that. She's dropped a good amount of weight, and I'm with you. I think I'd rather she picked up a little bit too. And but Todd, I don't know. This match just didn't do anything for me. I guess I already knew Doudrop wasn't winning, and that doesn't help. I just don't think the match was very good.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that match with Doudrop and Becky Lynch for that Raw Women's Championship match. That was like a lot of botches in that match where Becky Lynch couldn't catch Becky Lynch with a slam, couldn't catch her, can't do anything. Well, like you said, when Becky Lynch lost all that weight, it's like something's not right there.
Well, I think she's trying really hard to get into like the best shape she can, which is understandable, but it gets to a point where you're so thin, she doesn't look like the same Becky Lynch. She doesn't look like that, you know, brawling sort of a whatever. She looks very thin and frail. And I don't know if you really want a wrestler to look frail. I mean, it's just my opinion, but, you know, to me, I think she looks a little bit frail. As far as the rest of the match was concerned, yeah, it was longer than I thought. I thought it was going to be a five-minute match because they have 2 one-hour Royal Rumbles to deal with, plus a couple of title matches and some others, so I thought this was going to be quick. It wasn't as quick as I thought. So give credit to the WWE, who gave them time. But I don't think the fans were too impressed. I know I wasn't too impressed. We then get Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. And this one really threw me for a loop. I'll tell you why. We called the ending. I mean, we called the ending right down to the bare bones of it. So that didn't throw me. What threw me was right at the beginning. Because Bobby Lashley, who clearly, in my opinion, is supposed to be the heel. I mean, Paul Heyman did his best to be like the good guy. Remember when he was giving his speech for Brock? And Brock Lesnar is clearly going against Roman Reigns, who's clearly the heel. And Bobby Lashley comes out, you know, hitting hands with the fans. Like he's a fan favorite. I said, when did this happen? So I don't know what that situation's all about. I don't know if they're going to try to flip Lashley or what. But I thought it was weird. Brock Lesnar comes out. I don't care what anybody says. Brock Lesnar is a very, very solid professional wrestler. And here's why, in my opinion. Before all of the AEW alumni get crazy and say, has he ever done a super kick? Can he do a triple corkscrew plancha? No, he can't. You know what he can do? Every single time Brock Lesnar fights, it looks like it's real. Have you noticed that? Every single time Brock Lesnar fights, he doesn't do these moves that are like, well, come on, that's all show and no, you know, no go. That you wouldn't do that in a real fight. You wouldn't do that in an octagon. You wouldn't do that in a real, you know, martial arts match or anything. No, everything Brock Lesnar does is legit. And it looks like it's legit. And that's why he's good. Because you watch this match and you're like, this seems like a fight between two guys. It really does seem like a fight. There's no arm twists and, you know, Beal slams and whip you to the ropes and duck down and drop and jump and drop and drop and jump and jump and drop. There's none of that. It's just here I come in here and I'm going to do my best to wear you down and maul you. Which is what you do in a real match. So when I'm watching Brock Lesnar matches, I'm saying to myself, yeah, this looks like a real fight. And Bobby Lashley did a good job, too. This was a very good match, I thought. And I liked how they started it out with Brock Lesnar clearly seeing Bobby Lashley as equally as powerful as I am. So now I have to rely on my knowledge and my experience. And then realizing, hey, I can't even put him away. I thought I could put him away a little easier. I don't seem to be able to put him away. And then the spot where he got him in the Hurt Lock, a great spot, sold very well by Brock Lesnar, I thought. Other than that, we called this whole thing, folks. If you are a regular listener to this show, we called this. We said if Roman Reigns hangs on to his belt, Brock Lesnar will certainly lose his. If Brock Lesnar loses his, it will be because Roman Reigns comes down and causes him the match. Now, the funny thing is, the minute the referee gets knocked down, I said, count down to Roman Reigns, 10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, and sure enough. And we also called that this whole entire thing with Paul Heyman has been a ruse. We said this weeks and weeks and weeks ago. This whole thing was set up between Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns to get Brock Lesnar out of their hair for good, I guess, and it backfired. Because clearly Paul Heyman went with Roman Reigns last night. This sets up, obviously, Brock Lesnar not having to be on a show every week, and still having a WrestleMania moment. But let's just talk about the match itself first. There's a lot of hype behind this match, and did it live up to it? As good as it could, folks. I mean, I don't know what you want. Do you want them to go out there and just really shoot MMA style? And that's, you know, they came as close to that as they could, I thought. And I think, you know, for the first time in a long time, I'm getting a sense that Brock Lesnar is enjoying professional wrestling. It used to be when Brock Lesnar came out, I said, here he comes for a payday. He doesn't look like he wants to be there. He doesn't look like he wants to participate. It's just like, okay, you paid me. I'll show up. I'm not getting paid by the hour. 1 minute and 2 minutes and I'm done. Let me out of here. Get me on a plane back home. Call me when you want to drop another $1 million on me. That's what it felt like. It doesn't feel like that now. I'm looking at Brock Lesnar. I'm saying he seems like he's having fun. Seems like he's having a good time with this. And, Mike, that's got to be a positive thing for the WWE.
Yeah, sure. You know, that's the thing. And look, that still doesn't leave, because you know at some point he's going to circle back for this title that he so obviously got cheated out of, right?
Right.
Brock Lesnar. So there could be room for them, for Lesnar and Lashley to do a MMA style match.
Yeah, there could be a round two to this. Absolutely could be a round two to this. And I'd be all for it. I mean, why not? They did a good enough job. So I'm satisfied with this match. Again, the ending we called, Todd, but still, I think the match was good enough. And I think Lashley also did something that you got to give him credit for. And that is when Brock Lesnar hit his F5. Lashley clearly showed he was out. He wasn't twitching. He wasn't moving. He wasn't trying to kick out. He was just out. And there's a lot of people who would have said, well, let me act like I would have kicked out on, you know, 4. Maybe he had me for 3, but 4 I'd kick out. No, Lashley laid there. Lashley was done. Lesnar's move. I just think overall it's good. I'm just a little curious of whether they're going to have Lashley be a face now or a heel.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this Bobby Lashley thing last night with Brock Lesnar in that match, when Lesnar gave Lashley those suplex city moves, Lashley kept getting up, kept going back and forth for a while with the spears and the reverse suplex, the back suplex moves from both guys. And, you know, it just was one of those matches you see.
Yeah, now, Derek is asking, why didn't they lead the show off with Brock versus Lashley? Well, right in the beginning of the show, I said you probably missed it. Roman Reigns' contract says he either does the last or the first match. He doesn't wrestle in the middle of the card. Well, the last match is the Royal Rumble. Keep that for the surprise. So Roman can't do the last match. So because Roman can't do the last match, they have no choice but to give him the first. So that's the answer to that question. As far as why did they not have Roman lose and then enter the Rumble and win, they clearly want Roman to be the heel. They clearly want Roman to be the heel. And I don't think they wanted that ending with that heel at the Royal Rumble. They wanted that, oh my God, Brock Lesnar's coming for Roman Reigns. And of course, earlier on in the evening, Roman Reigns got the biggest booze, didn't he, when he attacked Seth Rollins with a chair and all that kind of stuff. So that sets up Brock Lesnar for being the big hero who has the last laugh over Roman Reigns, who attacks him during his match. So that's why. I suspected it could be Brock losing just because Brock doesn't stick around a lot and really doesn't need that belt. But I didn't know whether they wanted to go back to Lashley so quickly. But then again, Lashley could be a transitional champion. They could, you know, very easily just take that belt off him in a week. So we'll have to wait and see. Let's see now. So then we get to The Miz and Maurice versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. And, well, let me say this. It exceeded my expectations. It really did. It exceeded my expectations. Because my expectations was very low. I figured you were going to do some kind of weird gimmick by which Maurice wouldn't get tagged in and wouldn't get tagged in and wouldn't get tagged in. And then eventually something would happen where accidentally Beth Phoenix gets hurt or hurts her leg, and then she has to get in and gets a few moves in and then tags right back out, one of those things. No, I mean, she even gave that Hurricanrana type thing to Ed. She looked good. There was they got me, because when they did that one spot where Edge got the Miz's finisher, I said, my God, it's over. They're actually going to give them the win, and then that's going to lead to something more. I really thought the Miz and Maurice was winning this at that point. And when he kicked out, then I said, okay, they're not winning the match. They would have won it right then and there if they were going to win it. So then I knew they weren't going to, but they got me, Mike. That false ending, one of the few that got me, but I really thought that was the end of the match.
Right. And the fact of the matter is you had a couple of good, I mean, Maurice looked halfway decent as a wrestler, you know. She looked halfway decent, you know. And Beth Phoenix, yeah, she's a commentator, but she can still get the job done in the ring. And to tell you the truth, that I don't know why I won't say the ending is the right ending, but it is what it is. I mean, look, I enjoyed watching them both do the Glam Slam, you know.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, no, they did a good job, and that's fine. The ending's fine. They just want to bury the feud and say it's done. That's fine. Let Edge move on. That's good. But I want to say this to all the people who have told me, I don't know what you're talking about. The Miz sucks. The Miz is a very good professional wrestler. If you don't think The Miz is a good professional wrestler, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, to each their own, but folks, you have the right to your opinion. I mean, but what you have to understand is your opinion doesn't necessarily mean it's a fact. I mean, I could say I think Rush is a horrible band. I don't like the guy's voice. I don't like their music. I think they're boring. But I'm not going to tell you they suck, because I clearly know that Rush are very, very, very accomplished musicians. Every single member of that band is an accomplished and extremely talented musician. So it would not be fair for me to say they suck as musicians. That's not true. It is fair for me to say I don't enjoy their music. So if you say I don't enjoy the Miz's matches, that's fine. But to say he cannot wrestle or he's a bad wrestler, that's just not true. I mean, Mike, that's just flat out not true.
That is flat out not true. And the guy, I mean, look, it may have been somewhat true when he first showed up, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm coming in, I'm a reality star, I'm this, I'm that, and oh, you're going to become a wrestler after being a professional wrestler after being a reality star and all this stuff, and yeah, and we know all the stories that came out of that, you know, from backstage stuff that happened with the Miz, because the boys did not think he was very good, which he probably at that point wasn't, you know. Now this is what, 10, 15 years down the line, and he's still here, and he's really, really good. I mean, and you could probably get a couple years out of him, but he's got other irons in the fire. And tell you the truth, he's quietly putting together a Hall of Fame career is The Miz.
I agree with you. I think The Miz he's going to go down as one of these wrestlers who are so underrated until he's gone. And then people are going to say, you know, he was a lot better than we thought. You'll find people like that who they're underrated until they hang it up, and then you start to realize what they were worth, Todd. And I think The Miz is one of those guys.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with The Miz and everything, he's going to be one of those guys down the road. It's going to be like, man, this guy's a very good wrestler, very underrated, and you're going to probably see him in the Hall of Fame someday. It's going to be one of the guys who's done it all mostly in the WWE.
Yeah, I think he's very good. So we get to the men's Royal Rumble. And this is where the pay-per-view begins to fall apart for me. Questioned everything about this Royal Rumble, almost everything. The first thing you do is AJ Styles is number one, and you say to yourself, Jesus Christ, you already know he's not winning now. AJ Styles is not winning from one. I don't care how good he is. Now, the good news is they really made him look good. He threw out a lot of people. But wow, number one? That's crazy. And then Shinsuke Nakamura's number two, and I said, well, somebody's been thinking. Because now we got AJ and Shinsuke, and that sounds like we're going to have a barn burner for 2 minutes. But we didn't really. So I'm just going to come right out and tell you what I think, and it's probably going to upset some people. Shinsuke Nakamura's gotten very lazy. I know he's injured. I know his hand is not 100%. Shinsuke Nakamura's gotten lazy. Shinsuke Nakamura is stealing money at this point. He's a champion. He doesn't wrestle. He doesn't defend it. He doesn't do too much of anything. Not too much of anything. I mean, he literally just goes in and does the bare minimum he can possibly do, even with AJ Styles. Now, this was the moment where I thought, okay, we're going to see the old Shinsuke for 2 minutes. Him and Styles are going to go at it. They didn't. I was highly disappointed. Austin Theory comes out number three. That kind of makes sense with him and AJ kind of going at it. Rather than to go through the whole order of the matches, let's just talk about it in general. Few things that I didn't like. One is, if you're going to put Austin Theory in this match and you're going to keep him in the match a reasonable amount of time, and you're going to have Shane McMahon in that match, why in the world do you miss the opportunity to have some interaction between Austin Theory and Shane McMahon? Why? Clearly, Austin Theory is doing a very big angle with Vince McMahon taking him under his wing. And here's Vince McMahon's son in the same Rumble, and you don't even have them really meet. I don't understand it. For the life of me, I do not understand how you missed that opportunity. But that's not the only opportunity they missed. They had Dominic Mysterio out before Ray ever came in. Now, this whole big thing of, you know, you're going to throw your dad out, you wouldn't throw your dad out, and Ray throwing him out, I thought it was going to lead to something. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then, I'm going to be very honest with you, to have Bad Bunny in there is a joke, and to have Sheamus eliminated by him is a disgrace. I know he's good, I know he's athletic, I know he's a big fan. But it always cracks me up when these guys say, I'm a big, big, big wrestling fan. And I'm super famous now, so I'd like to be a guest. Well, if you're such a big fan, then you should eat one for the team. If you're such a big fan, you should say, you know, I'm going to get in there and literally get my ass kicked. Literally get my ass kicked. Because that's what would happen in a real Royal Rumble if I was this size and I was in there. Nope. Oh, I got to have my minute of looking great. Why? I thought you're such a big fan. If you're a big fan, you want to put the boys over, right? Because you're going to be gone. So putting you over does what? It does nothing. I would insist upon it. If I was in Bad Bunny's shoes and I was the big wrestling fan that I am, and they said, would you like to come in and do a spot? I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I'll go in the Royal Rumble, but man, somebody's got to maul me. I can't look like I, you know, I'll duck under a punch or something, but I'm not going to deliver any punches, or I'm not going to throw anybody out or anything. I should just get dusted, right? I mean, that's the point. I'm not a wrestler. So give me the opportunity to show what happens when a guy who don't wrestle, even though I did, but let's say I didn't, when a guy who don't wrestle comes up against a guy who does. Instead, we get, well, you don't have to be a wrestler. You still hold your own. These guys aren't that good. These guys aren't that bright. These guys aren't that talented. These guys aren't that strong. You don't need any special training. Just get in there. You'll probably do okay. I never liked that message, Mike. I don't like it today. I think it takes away a lot from the guys who train hard and you know, really bust their ass to be in this business.
Right. And to tell you the truth, excuse me, to tell you the truth, the people who say, well, Shane McMahon's in the same situation. No. Shane McMahon has been in the ring. He's been trained. He's got MMA training. He's had wrestling training. He has at times been one of the boys, so he's been there and he's done that, you know. Bad
right,
Bunny,
no.
One or two matches and don't make you one of the boys.
No, I agree with you. No, Shane McMahon's totally different. Shane McMahon is a professional wrestler. He may not be a full-time professional wrestler, but he is a professional wrestler. I just want to read to you, though, because this is the thing that gets me. After the initial AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, and by the way, I'm credit Todd for this. Todd actually posted this up on our website, which is, of course, WrestleChat at Facebook. The order of the men's Royal Rumble. And here's where we run into problems, folks. AJ Styles, number one, okay. Shinsuke Nakamura, number two, okay. Austin Theory, number three, certainly. After that, Robert Roode, think he's winning? Ridge Holland, think he's winning? Montez Ford, think he's winning? Damian Priest, think he's winning? Sami Zayn, think he's winning? Johnny Knoxville, think he's winning? Angelo Dawkins. You literally had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row who totally cannot win this Royal Rumble. You then had Almost in. The minute Almost comes in the middle of the pack, I know he's not winning. I knew he wasn't winning anyway. But you certainly knew he wasn't winning when he comes in number 11. But then after Almost, Ricochet, you know he's not winning. Chad Gable, you know he's not winning. Dominic Mysterio, you know he's not winning. Happy Corbin, you know he's not winning. Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, Rick Boogs, Madcap Moss, Riddle. You're up to number 20. You're up to number 20. And you don't have a sign of more than like one guy who can win it. This was very, very bad ordering. Very bad. Then you had the Drew McIntyre return, which, yes, he could win it. Kevin Owens, who, you know, he's not going to win it, but legitimately he could, so that's okay. Then they started having a few guys in that could win it. But by the time Shane McMahon gets in, Austin Theory was long gone. So you didn't even have that to play around with. And I just thought the ordering was so terrible to this match. There were so many people in a row that was just like, eh, big deal. Nothing special. And it made the match boring. Now, I did like the way they eliminated Almost. Made AJ Styles look very smart, and it got AJ Styles some revenge. So that was good. I didn't like the way they had Chad Gable say, I got a good idea. Damian Priest, you go to attack him first. You're the biggest guy. What are you talking about? And that makes Damian Priest look dumb as a brick, because all Damian Priest had to say was, why don't we all attack him? Why do we have to attack him one at a time? What is this, a kung fu movie where they all run at you one at a time? We'll just all attack him at once. That really made Chad Gable look dumb, and it made Damian Priest look dumber. And then Damian Priest, who's been bragging about, don't let my Damian side come out, well, you were gone without a whisper, so it was almost irrelevant. Did not like the order of this Royal Rumble, Mike. I thought they did a terrible job, and they did nothing about setting up feuds or potential feuds or anything.
Right, and you're absolutely right about, frankly, I would have, it wouldn't have taken much, but I would have, if I knew for sure that I was going to have Shane McMahon, I would have purposely made it to where he comes in as close to what's-his-face as
Austin
possible.
Theory, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Austin Theory as possible to where we get that possible, even just the face-off. They don't have to fight each other, just the face-off, you know? I mean, That's a mistake. That them not even getting the ability to face off is a mistake.
Yeah, it's a huge mistake, Mike, because let's face it, maybe Shane ain't coming back for anything else. But even if he wasn't, the implication that he might be, the implication that I've been watching and I see how my dad's kind of taking you under his wing instead of me and all that kind of, there's a story to be told there, and you just said to hell with it. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand that. You didn't do it with anyone. You had this big thing going on between the Street Profits and the Dirty Dogs, and Rude was eliminated long before Ziggler came in, and the ordering was terrible. Just terrible. Now, Derek is saying, well, I thought Damian Priest would have a chance. Well, no, he's not going to have a chance. And I'll tell you why. When you got a belt, you're not going to have a chance. The winner's not going to be a guy who has the belt, because what are you going to do with him? Send him to WrestleMania to do what? Be a double champion? They're not going to do it. Lose before WrestleMania to the other belt to somebody else? They're not going to do it. So Damian Priest was dead in the water. Probably should have never been in there. Should have just been defending his title. So really, there wasn't a lot of people who could win. You knew Randy Orton wasn't going to win. You know, that's another thing. You took a guy like Randy Orton out of the mix because you know him and Riddle are... And you didn't even do anything by which him and Riddle are left in the ring alone for a minute and they have no choice. You know, you didn't tease anything like that. And there was very few surprise entrants. I mean, Bad Bunny, Shane McMahon. I was hoping for a little bit bigger surprises than that. Johnny Knoxville didn't even take anything major. I thought, well, Johnny Knoxville, because of his reputation for taking all these crazy things, somebody's going to do something pretty bad to him. He's going to go through a table or something's going to happen. No, he just took a splash. And then gets kicked out by Sami Zayn. No big deal. It seemed like an afterthought. It seemed like, well, we don't care what the Rumble's going on because we already know Brock Lesnar's coming down and cleaning house, so we don't care. It was pretty pathetic. Even at the end, when it's Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar, and I said, okay, well, we may have 5 minutes of good. No, we didn't. 30 seconds, and out goes McIntyre. Wow. And I would have handled it completely differently anyway. I would have made sure that the last three or four guys in that ring were heels and good ones. And then have Brock Lesnar come in there and literally go apeshit crazy. Not act like, oh, no big deal, I lost my belt. I really thought that was bad. Well, he has a smile on his face and everything. No smile, man. You come out there like you're ready to kill somebody. And you just throw everybody the hell out of that ring. And I really thought, here's what I would have honestly done. If I was Bad Bunny, I would have said, you know what? I'm going to see Brock Lesnar, and he's just literally going to turn around and scream at me, and I'm going to jump over the top rope. I'm literally just going to throw myself out. That way, if somebody interviews me backstage or something, I can say, well, what do you think? I'm nuts. Did you see that guy? Did you see how nuts he was, how filled with rage he was? Screw that. I'm a rapper. I'm out. Dealing with that guy. That would have been good. And that would have showed that Bad Bunny's a big wrestling fan who gets it. Let me sell Brock Lesnar. I ain't no way I'm tangling with that man. Here's what I did like. There wasn't much I liked about the men's rumble, but here's what I did like. I liked the fact they gave AJ Styles enough respect that he threw out four or five guys, at least, including Omos. And I liked the fact that they not only let Austin Theory do some stuff, but the announcers, who were clearly coached to say it, all said, you got to give this kid credit. He's got guts. I mean, he attack anybody. He'd go right up to Almost, or what the hell, I'm attacking him. And I think that that's a really good gimmick for Austin Theory, is that, man, that kid is, he'll do anything. He's ready to go at all times. I'm not sure Austin Theory is a heel. I don't know what he is exactly. He's sort of one of these guys that I think people can live vicariously through and say, that would kind of be me if I was a wrestler. You know, he's a little bit full of himself, but man, he's game. He's trying as hard as he can. And you got to respect that he tries as hard as he can. He seems fearless. And he doesn't win a lot, and you kind of feel sorry for him sometimes because he's getting bitched at and yelled at, and he's a rookie, supposedly. But I don't know, that's a weird dichotomy with him, Mike, but I think what they're doing with him works very well.
I think what they're doing with him works very well. And they're not skipping ahead any chapters in the story.
Right.
All right. They're writing a story here, and basically they're using Vince to help write the story, I guess. But they're writing the story here, and you know, the pace, the Rumble could have been a big pace to the story if they would have done what we've been talking about with Shane, but they chose not to write that page for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Last night, to me, it felt as though the Men's Royal Rumble was a total afterthought, and they just literally said, it really doesn't matter because Brock Lesnar's just coming in there and winning. So who cares? I do think the only reason Rousey wasn't number 30 in hers is they didn't want both people from position number 30 to win. Otherwise, I think she would have been, because they didn't want Ronda hanging around long. You notice Ronda just like laid on the ring for a while and wasn't doing anything for a long period of time. Didn't really take much and only gave little rabbit punches. And I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think, but at least her Rumble was entertaining, and there were some branches on the tree, and there was some reunions, and there were some things that make you go, that could be something down the road, and, you know, some cool things. I didn't see none of that in the men's. I didn't see anybody setting up anything in the men's. What, are we going to have Shane McMahon against KO again? Who the hell wants to see that? KO, by the way, is now a heel. So we certainly don't want to see Shane McMahon against KO again. Why were we reliving that? If anything, that takes away from KO's persona as a heel. So why would you go back to that? Shane McMahon very clearly should have been in that Royal Rumble for Austin Theory. So that Vince McMahon, even if there was no further interaction with Shane McMahon, so that Vince McMahon could have said either A, you let my son throw you out. My son, who abandoned this federation, blah, blah, blah. Or the opposite, he could have said, you threw my son out. You threw a McMahon out. Either way it worked, it would have been fine. And you didn't even have him see each other in the ring. I can't figure that out. I just can't figure how you missed that. I do want to mention, of course, that Kofi Kingston unfortunately blew his spot. Doesn't happen much. And give the WWE credit, because I know what would have happened if the WWE had said, no, no, his feet never touched. Everyone would be on the internet today saying, your WWE sucks, they're so stupid, you can clearly see his feet touched. That was a mistake. His feet was not supposed to touch. You know it was a mistake because Big E really had nothing to do in that Rumble. And Big E's job, he was right after that happened, Big E was supposed to come down there and pick up Kofi and put him back in. Or help him back in some way. I don't know if Big E eliminated anybody. I don't think he did. Now, as far as some people complaining and saying, well, what do you think about Madcap Moss, who's basically a preliminary guy, eliminating AJ Styles, I'm all for it. If you're going to do something with these guys, they got to eliminate somebody good. That's why AJ Styles is a consummate professional wrestler. He gets this business very well. And he clearly understands, I'm not going to WrestleMania to fight for a championship anymore. Probably ever. They might give him one more shot before he retires, but it's a very good possibility that ship has sailed for AJ. So now what AJ Styles is doing is, let me help build up some people. Let me help go down to NXT and throw a little, you know, ratings that way. Build up a few people up here, work with Austin Theory, work with Madcap Moss, work with some guys who probably need, you know, a little help. Work with Almos, some guys who need some some help and would benefit by having some wrestling matches with me. And that's exactly what he's doing. So if him and Madcap Moss have a series of matches, I'm perfectly okay with that, Mike. I think that'll help Moss tremendously.
I think so, too. And this is what we've been saying for a while. If we have more people like AJ Styles, we'd have a healthier sport. You know, we'd have a healthier wrestling business. Because this is – he's a vet. Now, granted – not to say that he couldn't carry off another title reign, because the guy, looking at the guy, he don't look 40-ish, you know. No. He looks 30-ish, maybe 25, you know. That his body, he's in impeccable shape for a guy his age, all right. And you could probably get another 2 years out of it, you know. And so, but at the top of the card, maybe not 2 years, maybe 8 to 12 months, but at the top of the card, maybe as a champion, maybe, I don't know, but AJ's the type of guy that says, well, yeah, you know, if I'm not the champion, what do you got for me to do?
That's exactly right. I mean, AJ Styles understands at the end of the day, you're a tool in the toolbox. And there's going to be times when that tool is very, very, very necessary and you can't do the job without that tool. And then there are times when you don't really need that tool. But it's good to have. See, that's what a lot of fans don't understand. Now, Ali supposedly didn't want to be in the Rumble. Said, I just want my release. And fans are taking his side. And I try my hardest on some of these sites to be polite and not be rude and obnoxious and explain why he's wrong. But fans don't want to hear it. Oh, the WWE should just let him go. Why? Why should they let him go? The man signed a contract. Well, the WWE can fire you anytime they want. Yeah, but... let me put it to you this way. If I hire you to paint my house and we have a contract and I say you're going to paint my house in 3 weeks time and I'm going to pay you $2,000 to paint my house in 3 weeks time. And after a week's time and my house half painted, you say, I don't feel like doing it. I can hold you to that contract and say you signed this contract. So you're going to have to complete the job or give me my money back. However, if I tell you to paint the house and we sign the contract and you're doing a horrible job and I stop you halfway through and say, you ain't painting my house. I'll pay you the money from this contract, but don't you touch my house. I have a legal right to do that. That's what the WWE does. So the WWE can say, look, we don't have anything more for Ali. We're letting him go. They still got to pay him the money. They still got to pay him every dime they owe him for that contract. He's due every single nickel of that money. However, if Ali just says, I don't feel like wrestling. I'm not going to do it. Well, then you're violating the contract. You signed it. When you signed that contract, it didn't say, unless you specifically put it in, you're going to be at the top of the card, and we're always going to treat you like gold, and you're going to be in every pay-per-view as a major star. It doesn't say that. It says you're going to wrestle for us. Whether or not we use you, whether or not you lose every match, whether or not you're the champion, it's irrelevant. That's your contract. If you don't like it, don't sign it. And if the WWE does not like your performance, they have a right to fire you and say, we will still pay you what this contract says. We're just ending the contract early. So what's in it for the WWE if Ali ends his contract early? They don't get a wrestler and they still got to pay him? Pay him. Well, guess what? They're going to make you honor the contract, or why bother signing it? So Ali is wrong. All Ali has to say is, let me finish my time here, and then I'm going elsewhere. And I'm grateful for the opportunity here. Let me use whatever I can, whatever brief TV time they're going to give me, let me use it. And I'm sure somebody else will hire me. That's all. But no, like a spoiled brat, you're holding your breath saying, I don't want to play. I don't want to play anymore. I don't think I'm being used right. Well, tough. You signed a contract. Can you imagine if you did that in Major League Baseball? Can you imagine if you came up and they're like, you're going to be our starting first baseman. And then another guy catches fire and they're like, you're going to be on the bench. I want to leave immediately. I want to be traded. I'm not going to be used right. Well, guess what? You're going to be sticking there for the rest of the season, my friend. You signed a contract. I don't want to be a relief pitcher. I want to be a starter. Yeah, well, then you take your contract, and at the end of the term of it, you can leave, or you can renegotiate, or you can ask for a trade. But asking for a trade does not mean they're going to trade you. Whatever happened to honor, where you say, look, so unfortunately, whether they use me like a putz, or they make me just sit home, or I lose every match, it's irrelevant. They're paying me to do what they want me to do, and that's what I signed the contract for, so that's what I'm going to do. Instead of taking to social media to whine like a baby about, oh, I don't feel like I have to, I'm tired of it, Todd. These are adult people, and they've signed a contract, and they need to honor it.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Say you own a federation, and I tried to do the same thing, and what Ollie's trying to do, I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to stay until my contract runs out.
Of course. You don't leave a job half finished if you sign a contract, okay? You sign a contract for 3 years, you give them 3 years. If at the end of a year they don't want you anymore, then they have that right, and it's written into the contract to tell you we don't want you anymore, but we'll pay you a certain amount of money to buy out your contract. That's the way it works. That's what it's for. It staggers me, Mike, how many people just don't get that.
Right. I just don't understand why these people don't get it. I mean, contracts are supposed to mean things. You're told to do something. You're hired to do A, B, and C, and you only do A and B. Well, you're in breach of the contract, right?
Of course. That's my point. And you've signed the contract of your own free will. Now, Derek's saying, you know, a couple shows back I'd said Vince should just set people down. Rather than fire people who want to be there, why don't you set people down and say, before I fire anybody, who doesn't want to be here? Because if you don't want to be here, you'd be the first guys out. Yeah, and I still agree with that. But here's the deal. Vince McMahon has the right to say this particular person, for whatever reason, I don't want to let go. Therefore, he is going to finish his contract, or she is going to finish her contract. He has the perfect legal right to do that because you signed the contract. Simple as that. I'll give you one better than that. If I sign a contract to play a gig and I totally tell them this is the night, or they tell me this is the night, don't book anybody else because this is the night you're going to be here. And 3 days before that concert, they say, well, you know what? We had a sewer leak and we're not going to be able to have the concert. I guess you're out of luck. No, I guess you're out of luck because you're still paying me. I canceled that date. You're still paying me. That's the way a contract works, folks. So when Ali signed this contract, it was for a specific amount of time, for a specific amount of money. The WWE always has a clause in the contract that says if we're unhappy with your services, they have to have that. Here's why they have to have that. They've never done anything like this, but let's just say Ali signs a contract, and the first thing he does is he goes out and gets into five drunk driving accidents, and he's with an underage girl, and he's got drugs on him. What are they supposed to say? Well, we signed a contract, so he's still got to use them. No. To protect their company, the WWE says, we have the right to terminate your contract. We don't have the right not to pay you, but we have the right to terminate your contract, meaning you'll still get paid. So if somebody says to me 3 years, you know, $600,000, and after a year they say, you suck, they still owe me $600,000. They owe me $400,000 more. And if they want to hand me the $400,000 or whatever I agreed to at the time, if they end my contract, I'd settle for this amount. That's the amount they have to give me. That's how a contract works. But if I say I'm going to sign a three-year deal, and after 1 year I say, I don't want to work for you anymore, I'm just going to go sit home. Well, that's not fair. They still want you, so you still have to do the job. They're still asking you to do your job. And you signed an agreement saying you will do your job. So you have to show up. That's just the way it works. So I have no sympathy for him. Don't sign the contract next time. Sign 1 year, just year by year if that's what you want to do. You know, there are very few people. I know a ton of professional wrestlers. Most of them are indie wrestlers. Few of them made the big time. I know very few that make an actual living where they say, this is all I do. I am a professional wrestler. Obviously, everybody in the WWE and everybody in AEW and everybody in Impact and stuff, but your average professional wrestler, these guys got other jobs. They can't make a go of, I wrestle once a week for an indie federation for $100. So very few people in this world are living as a professional wrestler. Ali is one. He should consider himself extraordinarily fortunate to be one of those chosen ones. And if fate has dealt you a bad hand and the company you work for doesn't see what you're worth and doesn't feel like you're worth anything, finish your contract and go elsewhere. That's what professionals do. Mike, it's just as simple as that, really.
It really is. And think about this. Let's talk about another sport here. Back in the early part of the 20th century, the Major League Baseball and football as well, but these guys that played Major League Baseball did not make money. Did not make a lot of money. So what did they have to do? They had to go around and had to have off-season jobs in addition to playing ball, right?
Right.
So and the owner, well, the owners were greedy bastards at that point. But that's not the argument I'm making. You know, the argument is, well, why can't he do what he's doing? Well, the thing is you'd be careful. Ali got to be careful because the problem is Vince McMahon has a habit of turning on you and saying, all right, you don't want to be here, fine. We're not going to cut you. We're not going to end your contract. All right, fine. But we may very well end up paying you to not wrestle like we did with, I don't know, Ted DiBiase.
Also, Mike, there's a way to ask for your release, and here's the way to do it. You go to the powers that be yourself as an individual and say, I'm no longer happy here. I would like my release. I would like you to consider releasing me from my contract if you can see your way clear to do that. And we can negotiate something, even if it means I don't take a good deal of the money or whatever. Here's what you don't do. You don't say, I want my release, and then instantly get on Twitter and say, hey, fans, I just asked for my release from the WWE because I'm not happy here. Why are you airing your business? Is that professional? No, it's not professional. And you don't think that's going to anger your bosses? You've just told the world you don't want to be here. You've just spit in the face of the WWE, and then you want them to grant you a favor. It's mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. So, no, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Ali. I'm sorry. I don't. Now, Ricochet, I'm sure he's not happy. By the way, Ricochet did a really good move last night doing that springboard off of, I believe it was it Corbin's chest? I don't know who it was. Really, really good move. Ricochet's a great athlete. He's not very good on the mic. He doesn't have a great personality for the business. But he's a very good athlete. I'm sure he could be used in a much better way by another company. I don't see him on social media every single week saying, I'm so good, I want out. I'm not the champion. That's not fun. I didn't see Chad Gable doing that either. Remember when Chad Gable was just being made a complete and utter jackass of every single week? Shorty Gable. This is a guy who won an Olympics. He could have said, just screw all of you people. I'm going on social media and say how bad everything is. And the WWE sucks because I'm a real Olympic athlete and I can dust people. I have to call Shorty. He didn't. He just went about his job, and guess what? It's come full circle now, and he said, I don't know, man. Maybe there is something here with him. Maybe we can use this guy. And he's getting a lot more TV time. And when his friends over at AEW came calling and said, we'd love to have Gable over here, he didn't write and say, oh, just a matter of time, my brothers. He didn't answer because he's a professional. And he realizes, I'm not gonna spit in the face of the company that's signing my paycheck. We'll wait and see what happens when my contract is up. And that's how you know what your worth is, because when your contract's coming up and if the WWE thinks you're worth something, they're going to say, well, we better use them. We better use him or he won't sign. Chad Gable may not be, he's not going to be the champion anytime soon. He's not going to be the main event at WrestleMania. But Chad Gable is being used in a very good way for a professional wrestler. He gets a lot of airtime. He gets to show his skill. He gets to use the mic. And he gets to be in the center of things. Maybe he's not happy. Maybe he would rather be in a federation where he's contending for major titles, solo titles, not just the tag team championships. But this man has come full circle to being totally ignored and beaten like a rug every single week. He's a tag team champion, man. And you know how he did it? By shutting up, doing his job, not complaining, and letting his talent speak for itself, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, guys like Chad Gable, Ricochet, They're there to do their job and not to complain. And like you said, like some other people like Ali, he shouldn't come up, go on social media to run his mouth or anything about the WWE treating him like garbage. Like you said, he should just finish his contract to see where this goes after that.
That's all you really need to do, Mike, and I think Chad Gable's a prime example of what we're talking about.
Right, and think about this. He started out, Chad Gable was, American Alpha, right?
Yep.
And he was with now the other guy's retired because he can't wrestle anymore, and they took that other guy and tried to make him Kurt Angle's son, which we all agree at the time and probably now that probably you look at Gable and he does look a little bit more like Kurt Angle. You could have carried that off with Chad Gable, but that's in the past. He didn't complain about that. You know, he didn't complain about Shorty G. He even to some extent got over as Shorty G, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I want to remind everybody, too, that when he was Shorty G, this show, while everybody else was saying, this is awful, this is horrible, this show was saying, okay, it may be a stupid gimmick, but watch how good Chad Gable's doing it. Facial expressions are hilarious when people start doing the short jokes and things, and he's got something. And how do we know that whole Shorty G thing which everybody had to know was kind of a diss on a very, very, very talented athlete, wasn't a little bit of a test to see, let's see how he'll take this. Oh, he took that really good. Yeah, maybe he is a guy we can use because, you know, he tries to make the best out of a situation. You got to remember, the WWE does this. They gave Goldust to punish him. And what did Dustin Rhodes turn it into? A legendary character. WWE gave Dusty Rhodes that common man gimmick with the polka dots to make fun of him. What did he do? He got the last laugh. The WWE often gives you a punishment gimmick or a gimmick to test you to see, will he be able to pull this off? And if you do it with a smile on your face, you can actually get it over, and the last laugh is on them. Oftentimes, they'll end up using you, saying, well, gee, maybe we do have something here. This guy's able to pull this crap off. We give him crap, and he pulls it off. Chad Gable's one of those guys. He pulled it off. And I enjoy watching Chad Gable wrestle. I enjoy watching him talk. He's very good at both. And I think the WWE's seen his worth. And maybe, hopefully, you know, I mean, he's a tag team champion now, so whatever, but you never know. I mean, he may be something more than that in the future. As opposed to people who bitch and complain about every single thing. Now, we find out that Finn Balor says, well, I wanted to go to NXT UK. And they told me, well, you got to come to SmackDown because we need you. Okay, well, guess what? He's not even in the Rumble. So this is what you get from mouthing off. This is what you get. Instead of just saying, oh, man, I'm happy to be on SmackDown, you know, we'll see what happens. No, you got to complain. I didn't want to be here. Well, do you think that's a good thing? What happens if you go to work every day and announce on the loudspeaker, excuse me, attention Target shoppers. I don't like working here. I don't want to be here. But I have bills, so I'll do my job to the best of my ability. You think you won't be fired? Think you won't be fired? You're trying to sell somebody a used car, and you say, I hate this car lot. This car lot sucks. But I need the work, so I'm going to try to sell you this car, despite the fact that I absolutely hate being here. Think that car lot's going to keep you? At what point do you understand that you are not entitled to just make a mockery out of the company you work for and expect they're going to treat you like gold? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Just shut up. If you're unhappy, you finish what you're going to do, and that's it. Don't we do that in our lives every day? Why do these wrestlers think they're above us somehow? Hell, I've done it when I've done things for free. I helped somebody move once. I wasn't expecting no money for it. I said, yeah, of course I'll help you move. And they showed up with about five guys. Those five guys stood outside the U-Haul drinking beer, lifting, you know, one-pound things while I'm hauling furniture down the stairs by myself. To the point where people said to me, I'd have just left. I would have just said, yeah, F you. And I said, well, no, I can't do that. I promised to be there. I promised my friend to be there and do the best I could, and I did. The fact that they ask other people who don't want to work to help is not their fault. I agreed to do it. So I'm sticking out until I'm done. And I wasn't getting paid. So cry me a river that Ali's going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing virtually nothing and complaining every moment of it that I'm not being treated fairly. Cry me a river already. Suck it up, put on your big boy pants, and just wait until the contract is over. Then you can say whatever you want about the WWE. The minute you sign that other contract, you can say, well, I really was unhappy there. And then that's fair game. But while you're there, for God's sake, be professional enough to keep their name off your lips on social media, keep your business to yourself, and do your goddamn job, Todd.
Hey, you're absolutely right, though. Like you said, with with Ali and everything. We said it before. We just said it before. He should keep his mouth shut.
And then we have this thing with Hardy. And people go, oh, well, they jumped to the conclusions that he was high. Well, I don't know. That's a good conclusion to jump to, considering what he did to Sting. Considering that the night before what he did to Sting, I sat live in Poughkeepsie and watched him do virtually the same thing. Considering how many times he screwed up, considering the fact, like I told you, that there are people there whose job it is to make sure if he's hurt, they know it and they didn't know it. I don't believe for 1 minute that Jeff Hardy was just injured. Oh, I got myself a stinger, so I decided to take a walk through the crowd. You did? Why don't you take a walk right back to the dressing room and say, I'm hurt? Why don't you tell the referee, hold the phone, man, I just got hurt? Why didn't the referee say, I don't think he can tell us he's hurt, but I just seen him get hurt? Why didn't anybody throw up the X sign? Why didn't any of his opponents say, oops, I fucked up a move? Because it didn't happen. That's why. I don't care if his drug test came back clean. He wasn't injured during that match. Now, whether they want to invite him back to the Hall of Fame, that's their business. Now, they're still paying. They paid for John Moxley's rehab. But don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining and say, see, the WWE just assumed he was high. No, they didn't. What do you think? A $1 billion company just says, oh, this guy got out of the ring and took a walk through the audience. Must be high. Fire him. No. The very first thing they're going to say is he injured? Referee, did you see anything? Guys in the match, did you see anything? No. Was he acting weird? Yeah, he was acting really weird. Were you able to communicate him during the match? Yeah, but he was, you know, a little out of it. Okay, well, something's wrong. And then it's not, he certainly wasn't hurt during the match, so something's wrong. He's gone. You think the WWE didn't talk to any of those people? I mean, how naive can you be? Is that what you would do if you owned a company? That's not what the WWE does, folks. They made damn sure injured, and he wasn't injured. Something was wrong. And regardless of whether it was drugs or alcohol or God knows what, something was wrong. And it wasn't an injury either. If he had a concussion, he wouldn't be wrestling, right? He wouldn't be, and now they say, well, he's going to be on indie cards with his brother here and there and here and there. Well, then he ain't got no concussion. So once again, Mike, you know, I mean, we're living in this age where people automatically side with the guys that are making the big money and complaining like they're children.
Right, and think about this. We know about Paige and what she wants, what she'd like to do, but have we heard of her complaining? Yes, she's acted out here and there, but have we heard of her complaining about her lack of use, even though she's getting paid a pretty good bit by the WWE? Have we heard of her complaining about her lack of use?
No, and let's take it one step farther. Zelina Vega refused to get off her UFAN or whatever the hell she had. No, I'm sorry. She refused to get off her Twitch. Then when she said, all right, I'll get off Twitch, but I want to start a UFAN, and the WWE said no. She started all kinds of talk about a union and how I should be able to make $100 zillion using my name, even though it's the WWE's that's making me famous to make even more money. And they fired her. They hired her back. Did they hire her back and make a fool out of her? Did they hire her back and say, you're losing every single goddamn match and looking like an idiot doing it? No, she won the goddamn Queen of the Ring. So don't tell me that the WWE is patently unfair to their workers. Well, that asked Zelina Vega. Are they patently unfair to you? It's ludicrous. WWE does their share of shit wrong. Don't get me wrong. And don't get me started on what the WWE does wrong. But when you're an adult and you can clearly read a contract, and my assumption is you got a lawyer who also can read it, and you decide, yes, this is exactly what I want to do. I want to sign this contract. Then you are bound by that contract. if you don't want to lose matches, then you know what? Be a man or a woman about it and say, I want it built in my contract that I don't lose only twice during a year, or I only lose if I say it's okay. And you know what the WWE is going to tell you? No, unless your name happens to be Brock Lesnar or whoever. But you got the right to ask for whatever you want. You know why you don't ask for that? Because you know you're not going to get it. And you want the money. And then once you get that contract signed, you say, but I want this, that, and this. Well, it's too late. You've already signed a contract that doesn't have that in it. So you don't have the right to demand that. It's just not, it's unreal. That's why I sided with the WWE workers when they said, well, we shouldn't have to get our Twitch channel taken down. I said, well, is it in the contract? No, it's not, that they can't have a Twitch. So they got a leg to stand on there. They have a leg to say, well, show me in the contract where I can't do that. But the WWE does have something, I guess, in the contract about using their platform to make money for yourself without them getting a cut of it. Otherwise, you could just do whatever you wanted, right? Otherwise, you could just say, hey, I'm going to loan my name out, and it's going to be Bray Wyatt Special Effects and Halloween Store. And I don't have anything to do with it, but they're paying me $100,000 to use my name. Well, that's not fair. Because that name only meant something because the WWE gave it to you. That's not fair. That's why you can't do that. The Twitch channels, I thought, were a little extreme. But if the WWE wanted to take them over and say, well, you can still have the channels, but you got to give us a cut. Hey, is it greedy? Yes, it's greedy. But welcome to the world of big business, man. You know what else is greedy? When people who need medication or they will die are being charged more for it than anybody could possibly afford to pay. And nobody's going after the pharmaceutical company saying, oh, what the hell, man? How come a pill is $500? So cry me a river if you can't have a Twitch channel. But you're making $1 million. Anyway, back to this Rumble. I realize a lot of fans hated it. And I understand why they did. They felt cheated with the Roman Reigns match. They felt like the men's Royal Rumble was horrible. They felt like the women's Royal Rumble was predictable. And after the Brock Lesnar match, they felt like the men's Royal Rumble was predictable. All of those things are true. However, you got a very strong match with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Very strong match. And you got some branches on a tree that may grow fruit eventually with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And let me just plant this seed. And I have no advanced information, so it's just me planting a seed. How come, through all this time, and even teaming with him in some occasions, Roman Reigns suddenly is being portrayed as a guy who misses the Shield? How come, after all this time of being a Joker-like character and being a drip god or whatever the hell he was supposed to be, all of a sudden Seth Rollins is back in the old suit? Don't be surprised if after this Roman Reigns storytelling deal is all over with, if we don't get some kind of a Shield, a second formation of a Shield. Don't be surprised. They're laying groundwork for that right now with Roman Reigns clearly showing he misses the Shield. Seth Rollins, despite what's happening, still saying, I will always love you as a brother. With Roman Reigns saying, I hate you. And he says, I know you do. But there's groundwork being laid there, I think, Mike. And I think fans are missing that.
You know, it might not be the Shield in the way we think of it. It might very well be a combination of the Shield and the Bloodline.
Yes.
You know, and that's that, because if it was going to be the Shield, I'm going to say we'd have to have Moxley back, but that's not going to happen right now. So, it might be a combination of the Shield. And look, here's the deal. The other thing that came out was the turn by Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Which we sort of had called, but yeah, it's a good turn. That's another good feature. The Women's Royal Rumble I thought was pretty strong, and I really had no expectations. I thought the Women's Royal Rumble was going to be a disaster. And it was far from a disaster. It was very entertaining. The Miz and Maurice against Edge and Beth Phoenix, very entertaining. Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, good solid match. It really felt like they were fighting. That's why I like Brock Lesnar's matches. I don't like that they're 1 minute. But when Brock Lesnar wrestles, it really looks like he's trying to kick your ass. It doesn't look like he's trying to be fancy and do moves that don't count and just look like, look what a great athlete I am. Look how many flips I can do. He just looks like he's out there to kick your ass. It looks real. I always liked that about Brock Lesnar. Lashley does that too to an extent. So there's a lot of things. Men's Royal Rumble was a disaster, yes. The ending was fine. We knew the ending was coming. It was what came before that that I think you wasted so much opportunity. No Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio in the same ring together. No Austin Theory and Shane McMahon kind of coming face to face with this thing with McMahon. There were so many things that could have happened that you just didn't do that it's almost writing malpractice. So that frustrated me a lot. But everything else was okay. Now, I'm more concerned about how the women's reaction is going to be to Ronda Rousey coming back for a year. Now, Ronda Rousey's saying all the right things. Ronda Rousey said, I kind of, after I had the child, I was doing like my math, and I was saying, this is probably when I can come back, and that would be the Royal Rumble, and I've missed this so much. You have no idea how much I've missed this. She's saying all the right things. Clearly, all the bad things she had to say about pro wrestling was her trying to hype her character. Because clearly you don't miss something you think is stupid and foolish and all that stuff. So now we have the answer to that question of whether she was serious or not, and the answer is no, she was not serious. However, I do think some of the women will resent her coming back. You can't help but resent it. And it's not even Ronda's fault. That's the thing. Ronda Rousey comes back and negotiates a deal where she's going to have primo spots every single time, and they sign that contract. Well, that's the way it is because she's Ronda Rousey. She has a big name. But if you're some of these other people who bust in your ass saying, how come I can't get there, and she can just walk in the door and do it, you're going to resent her. Think about it at your own workplace. If you are trying to make headwinds at your job and advance yourself, and you've been there for years working overtime, showing the boss you've got the skills and you're willing to work hard, and some new person that just came in just a week ago, all of a sudden they're like, well, you're the manager. Even if he's the nicest guy in the world, you're going to say, well, that's bullshit. I bust my ass here. And you're going to resent that guy a little bit. So, I want to see how the women's division react to it. Now, Ronda backstage could be the sweetest person in the world and telling all these girls, you know, I'm not trying to take anybody's spot. I'm only here for a year. It's limited matches. And I'll do the best I can to live up to the, you know, you guys' work ethic and everything. She could be saying all the right things. But I still say, Mike, there's going to be some people in that locker room who's going to resent it.
Yeah, I think so, too. But a couple of other things that came out of that women's match was, did you catch the reaction of Shayna Baszler when Ronda showed up?
Yes. Yes. And I was hoping they'd be last two in the ring.
Right. And the thing is she's not meant to smile, but she smiled. All right. She wants her back bad. That's one. Number two, when Molly Holly came down and in that character, I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That was great. That was a great spot. You know what else was a good spot? Ivory coming down with the right to censor. type gimmick and calling all the girls in there, you know, lost girls. Pretty funny. This is the thing. The WWE never capitalizes on stuff like this. Could you imagine if she had a stable of a couple of women who dressed very, prim and proper and called the other girls, you know, derogatory names because they were this way or that way? I could see that working. I could see her being a great manageress for a couple of women or a tag team or something and really getting over. I could really see that happening, and the WWE never takes advantage of stuff like that, Todd. It's a shame.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Ivory came out and they called those the other women in the ring, all lost the little girls, look at the way you dressed.
She had to be a little careful because, you know where she was going with it, but she couldn't flat out say it. So, you got to be a little careful in this day and age. But Mike pulled the trigger on that in a heartbeat. If Ivory could come back with that gimmick saying she's going to lead the new generation of women's wrestlers into a more respectable group and you know, bring with her a couple of stuffy sort of girls, I think it would work wonders.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that.
Hold on, let me get you back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I could see that. Just like I could see on a limited basis, I could see a Nikki A.S.H. versus Mighty Molly couple of matches.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely you could. It would be very interesting. This is the thing I mean. The WWE of old would snatch up opportunities. The WWE of old would say, let's get Cameron and Naomi back together and run their tag team again and be a team against Sonya Deville. Let's get Ivory in to bring in a couple of women. Maybe we already have the women. Maybe we'll just change a gimmick of one or two of the women, and they'll be the, you know, the stern sort of Puritan women who think that everyone else has lost souls. They'd be the ones to say, let's bring Shane in and do a gimmick where Shane is jealous of Austin Theory, or Austin Theory, Shane is trying to take Austin Theory away from Vince because he says, my father will do the same thing to you he tried to do to me. There's so many things you could have done. There's so many branches on the tree, and the WWE leaves them in the dust all the time. All the time. I just think it's a shame. But the one thing, unfortunately, that sticks in my mind about last night's Royal Rumble that I think was devastatingly cruel was not allowing Melina to have 1 minute in a match. This is a woman who was so happy to be there, she legitimately started to cry. And you gave her zero. Absolutely zero. You gave Alicia Fox more. And Alicia Fox did nothing to endear herself to you. Nothing. I think that's reprehensible. That's just reprehensible. And I got news. Sasha Banks is probably famous enough and valued enough that if Sasha had said, screw it, you know, give me a kick or two or whip me to the road, do a couple things for a second before I toss you out, what are they going to do to Sasha? They're going to fire her? No, they're not going to fire her. They're going to yell at her, and they yell at her, so what? I still would have done it. I know you're not supposed to go into business for yourself, but one or two moves wouldn't be the end of the world. I really felt bad for her because of everyone who was there. She acted like the one who wanted to be there the best. And, you know, Michelle McCool, say what you want about Michelle McCool. She gets what she gets because she's the Undertaker's wife, and that's it, Todd. Otherwise, there's no way she'd even be in this Rumble.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, Michelle McCool lasted for a little bit in that Women's Royal Rumble last night. And like you said, they could have gave the same amount of time with Melina. Nope, Jade, they just throw her the top rope, and that's it. 5 seconds, not even a minute.
No, it really, Mike, that left a really negative taste in my mouth, and unfortunately it was really early on, and I never really recovered from that.
Yeah, I can see that, and the fact of the matter is there are a lot of times that they leave very good branches on the floor, you know, we talk about branches on the tree. Well, the WWE has a habit of not only leaving them on the floor, but cutting them off before you follow them, you know. That's the WWE. I mean, we just stated different branches, right, just from the women's, Royal Rumble, that they could do something with, and they're going to leave them in the dust.
Yeah, that's the thing about the WWE. Women's and men's Rumble, and they just didn't. They just didn't. And they won't. I don't know what it is. The WWE seems to have this weird thing where they can only promote a couple of things at once. We got to do the Roman Reigns angle, and we got to do like maybe one more angle, and everything else we don't need to worry about. And that's so untrue. The strength in a WWE or any wrestling federation's card is that even the matches that aren't, you know, what you would call vitally important are still somewhat important. And they're not. They're just not. That's the problem. Shinsuke Nakamura has a title. When's the last time you saw any kind of a defense? They don't even care. He's in a tag team with Rick Boogs, and that's it. Here's a newsflash. Rick Boogs is not over. I'm sorry. He was over for a little while because the way he says his name is funny. That's grown old. He's not over. Elias is gone. I guess we'll never see him again. He had some charisma. And time again, we're just... Look at Damian Priest, even. Okay, so Damian Priest is supposed to be this, super mad guy who, if you get him super mad, he jumps in the ring and he's a lunatic. He gets tossed out last night and just walks back to the dressing room like a bitch instead of, you know, really going nutso. Getting back in there and maybe throwing Chad Gable out for giving him bad information or whatever. Nope. And that's your champion, by the way. You treat him like garbage. You're so stupid, you just run it almost by himself. That's all. You're an idiot. Okay, well, I don't know then. You made him look like an idiot. When you make even your champions look foolish, did you do that to Charlotte Flair? She's the last one in the ring. You didn't make her look that bad until Ronda Rousey. Then she looked like a complete idiot, because who runs at Ronda Rousey who's right close to the ropes knowing she could just scoop you up and throw you out? I mean, that's really not good, but at least she lasted till the end. Shinsuke Nakamura and Damian Priest were out early. Those are your champions. Who cares? See, you don't even care about your championships. That's the problem. And if you don't care about them, then how in the hell are we supposed to care about them? I like Shinsuke Nakamura, but if he can't wrestle, he's hurt, or whatever the hell the situation is, take the belt away. Put it on somebody who can defend it, and let's see some matches and some storylines involving it, because this is ridiculous. If you want to put him in a tag team with Rick Boogs, go for it. But take the belt away from him then, so somebody else can have a shot. Because it's not working out at all. And, of course, we didn't see some of the people I thought we were going to see. There was no... I thought we had a chance at possibly seeing a Bray Wyatt come back. We didn't. I thought we had a chance at seeing an Alexa Bliss come back. We didn't. I even thought we might have had a chance to see a Braun Strowman come back. And Asuka, of course. I don't know what's happening with Asuka, because I'm very, very sure that Asuka is no longer injured. And I'm pretty confident that Bayley isn't either. To be fair, maybe they didn't want them to be in a Royal Rumble just to lose. They knew Ronda Rousey was coming back, and they figured, well, we don't want to introduce you on a losing effort. So maybe that's what it had to do with, Mike, but I was a little disappointed not to see any of them.
Yeah. You know, and the fact of the matter is some of the other people we didn't see, I thought there was a good chance we'd see Io Shirai, and we didn't, you know.
I know. I really thought when they started counting down and I realized we're at like 25 and 26, I said, uh-oh, I don't think we're going to see Bayley. I don't think we're going to see Asuka. I don't think we're going to see Io Shirai. I don't think we're going to see them. And sure enough, we didn't. And, I mean, you got room for Bad Bunny and Johnny Knoxville, and you ain't got room for Finn Balor? Think about that for a minute. That's not good. Not good. He offered Ali a spot, apparently, and he didn't want it. Finn Balor doesn't get offered a spot. I don't know what to tell you, Todd. That's a little weird.
I mean, absolutely right there, like you said. They offered Ali a spot, but I guess he refused to take the spot in the Royal Rumble.
By the way, where the hell is Mansoor, too? That's another guy that, like, okay, we're going to start building him up, and Mansoor is going to be a big deal. Where the hell was Dijakovic? Where the hell was quite a few people last night, Mike, were missing.
Geez, yeah, you're right. Where are they? Where were they? You know, and that's the thing. Where were they? I mean, hell, you could have. I know they had a match earlier that night, but you could have put they had a match right after that, but you could have put Beth Phoenix and what you call hell. If you were bringing people in, why not bring in Lana? You know?
They wanted to. I heard that. I'm glad you brought that up. I heard they made an offer to Lana. I heard they offered Lana, and she did not take it. But I heard they did make that offer. The thing I'm most surprised about, though, Mike, is no NXT guys. I really thought we were going to see some of these NXT guys, especially like Roderick Strong or LA Knight or those people, and we didn't see anybody.
No. Cameron Grimes, you know, Io Shirai, what's her name, Raquel Gonzalez. You know, those people we speculated on, what, Friday or whatever it was, that
yeah,
we might very well see some of these people, and well, we never saw them.
No, we sure didn't. I was really, really shocked that we didn't see any NXT. I think that speaks volumes. If you're not going to show any NXT guys in the Royal Rumble at all, it's almost like you've given up and said, we're not even promoting them as a part of our brand anymore. I don't know what's going on. Honestly, don't know what's going on in the WWE. Now, they say the Elimination Chamber, of course, now is going to be held in Saudi Arabia. And I'm sure that's going something to do with the titles. Probably the Bobby Lashley, because I don't know who goes after Lashley at this point. That's the first thing a lot of people ask me, is who goes after Lashley? I don't know. I was assuming maybe almost. I don't think so. Based on his Royal Rumble appearance, I wouldn't think so. So I don't know. I don't know who goes after him. It depends on whether they want to keep him or make him a face or make him a heel. I don't even think they know. So it's a very odd thing. Anyway, what is your rating of the Royal Rumble, Todd? I'm going to give it a B-. I thought it was better than a lot of people think, but it had its problems.
I got to give it a B- as well. It was better than I expected to be better.
It was predictable, but it wasn't awful. And there were times when I thought it was better than I anticipated it to be, and then there were times when I was disappointed. And, I mean, B minus C, right around in that category. I know we lost Mike, so I'll have to wait for his rating. But at any rate, I don't think it deserves the moniker of the worst Royal Rumble ever. That is simply not true. There were some good performances last night, and there were some good things that happened. It was not the worst Royal Rumble of all time. I think it had such high expectations with Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar and all the possible call-ups, and people were expecting big names in the men's and some big names in the women's, and they didn't really get it. I think there was some disappointment, and having it suck is two different things. You can be disappointed people didn't show up, but the matches could still be pretty good. And I think that's what ended up happening. There were a lot of disappointed fans. But if you take it for what it was, I don't think it was a bad Royal Rumble at all. I think it was, you know, middle of the road with some really good highlights. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.